I can't believe it's been a full month. It's been 4 weeks, and this is the final one of the Sworn Story. We've been telling it. It's now time for Olympic trials this Saturday in Orlando. He's going to be lined up. Aaron, are you excited for them to hear this last part of the story?
So excited for everybody to get a listen to Sworn's buildup to this Olympic trials that are happening on Saturday. Make sure you track him and you root for him while you're watching. But if y'all listened to last episode, I know you left inspired hearing about how this man made it onto the Cal Poly Slow Team and the accomplishments he made there. But this journey to this most upcoming Olympic trials is also just as inspiring. I remember this happening in real life, and I was so shocked and surprised. So I'm excited for y'all to get one more taste of that Sworn energy, positivity, and I'm hoping it helps you throughout your day on your run or whatever. But it's been cool. It's been cool just to really focus in on someone's story like this for 4 weeks. So I hope everyone really enjoys it.
Yeah, I hope you guys do enjoy this. Wishing Sworn best of luck. And you guys just sit back, relax, tap in, and just hear about Sworn's return to his roots and how that really refreshed him, energized him, and got him ready for the Olympic trials coming up at February 3rd. Let's do it, Aaron. I'm Joshua Potts, Mr. Possible, always with the brother with the same mother, Aaron Potts, super hot Potts, and you're watching and listening to your favorite two black runners every single.
Two black, two One more time, Sworn.
Dang, bro, I had chills. Like, bro, we need to make that into a movie. Like, golly, bro. Like, that was insane. But let's talk, because I think we know. We know after all that, we know who you are. Like, we know what your mindset's like. How's it been training for 3 weeks away? How has it been training for this next step for Orlando?
Man, I think just from these last 4 years, man, it's been crazy. It was a journey in itself. So I remember I'll give a little backstory. In like 2020, once we had the trials and then COVID really hit, you know, I was still dealing with the numbness in my leg. It would come and go, and it feel like I can go marathon pace without it being crazy. But anything faster, it was, you know, it would get numb. You know, I knew my track days were kind of over because I can go to that same speed without it, like, getting to its fields. I would saw doctors at like USC, Stanford, nothing was really figuring out. And it was crazy because once COVID hit, it really shocked everything, you know. I remember getting in a mood, just like life started changing. A lot of us started moving away. People moved on with careers. Some people were like, you know, once ever COVID hit, it just, people started moving back. And I remember just like one day, it was like a house full of seven. And like in less than 2 months, it was like three of us left. And that really was a shock. I was like, man, because what really kept me, I had a great job here, but what really kept me was the guys, the family we had. It was only two of us in this big house. And like me and Mark, you know, we both moved to different locations. So I went from six of these guys to, you know, not living with any of these guys. And I stayed for like just under a year. But one day I just had a random panic attack because I think it just like everything started hitting me. Like it wasn't the same. I lost everyone as in terms of people going back. And I just felt like, you know, it was time for a change. So didn't really run that much after the trials, was just running here and there just for fun the rest of 2021 and most of 2022. And then that summer of 2021, I went back up slow, but I think my time became. And then I was like, I'll run here and there. And then that October of 2021, I did a PA, or it was the Aggie Open. I raced a 4 mile. I wasn't really training. Went there and got my butt kicked. This is just like a local fun meet with our team. I think I got like 34th to 33rd. And that car ride was like a 3-ride car ride home. And I think that day I decided, okay, I think I'm done running.
Yeah.
It wasn't the same. I wasn't happy with it. And then it was like October. So for like maybe four or five months or something, I didn't run at all. I was running to make me happy. I like lost the joy of it, get through COVID and everything. A former coach hit me up. She had retired. And she said, I heard you were back in town. Are you open to coaching? I was like, I mean, I thought I was done with running, but I was like, okay, I can just coach some kids. You know, I can get this. Like, this can be another way, maybe not completely being done with running, but kind of being done with running, but I can give back, you know, because
that was in 2020.
I was like, yeah, this was 2022, like February, like in February, you know, this was before, right before practice, they needed a distance coach. I was like, I can try it out. Get there like day one, and boom, I'm like in a competitive mindset. I don't know what hit me. I'm like, all right, you know, if we're going to do this, we're going to go all in. Because anything I've ever done, I committed all in. So I was like, you know what? I thought I'm done running. I go with the kids. I run 1 mile with them that first day back. And I hadn't ran in 4 or 5 months or so. Didn't put on tennis shoes, nothing. And I run with the kids talking about, you know, hey, you know, I used to go here, do this. And then I just start going into like this training mode, but in terms of coaching. And then it just started getting me. Then I was like, all right, I want to run with the kids. You know, I can pace them. And then that slowly, that I began coaching, my drive for running came back. Mm. And then I was like, you know what? Let's try this marathon thing one more time. I was like, you know, as I'm training, you know, again, I'm slowly running. I'm probably running like 30 miles, probably with the kids, just going 30, taking a day off whenever I want. I ain't doing long runs, none of that. I'm just running. Whatever the kids do, I'm pacing like group two or something. Summer comes along, we start doing a little longer runs. I'm like, all right, I can start doing 8 to 10, turn to 12, 12 turned into like doing a couple of workouts. And then here it gets pretty hot. So now we're coming into August right before school starts, and that's where it'll get like 107, 108, and we're doing morning practice. These kids, I'm telling you, we're all waking up at 5:30 while school's still happening. And I'm like, damn, if they can believe in me and getting up out here, why can't I believe in myself one last time? And I got back into the mindset of like 5:30, you know, eventually the fall came and we went back to 3:30 practices. But I was like, I got back into those feelings of like, okay, 5:30, here we go. It's the grind again. Just you and your shoes. Lights aren't out. It's dark out here. It's you. It's you listening to David Goggins. I got on my David Goggins grind for literally listening to his inspirational speeches. And that's what was getting me going. And I was like, I decided, I think like late August, September, might have been early October. I was like, yo, let me see if I can still get into CIM. I don't know what I'm going to run. Maybe I'll hit a trial mark. But like, let me just get back into it. So I started getting back into it. And I was like, you know what? Started doing a long. I was like, yo, I think I still have it in me. I think I got that dog in me. So coming into it, I was like, mind you, my training is completely different now compared to what I did. The first time I was doing like 120 miles a week for my trials leading up to 2020. For this CIM race in end of 2022, I'm running like 70, 80 a day off, probably like once a week at least, doing like one workout a week, just tempos. But like my confidence was growing. I was getting like stronger. I was getting fitter. And then I was like, you know what? Let's do this. And then we come to CIM. It's the day before, you know, mind you, I have not raced,
bro,
in over a year and like 3 months. Now, my first race.
Retired. I thought you were retired.
Yes, I didn't do no open 5Ks. I didn't do like a 3 week before do a fast half marathon. My first race back in a year and 3 months was CIM.
This dude crazy, bro.
I get on that line as I was like, you know what? We're going for the trials. We're going for broke and we're going for it. And we go, we're going. And then it's like, where there's a group of us at mile like 5 and then 10, and then we get to half marathon and it's like a smaller group. And I get that same damn feeling. I'm like, yo, we're doing this again. We're going to the trials. And I knew at halfway again at CIM, I was like, I'm making it, dude. I'm doing it. Cross the line. Next thing I know, I PR by a minute and like 2:16, a minute and like 15. I was like, hey, we back like we never left.
That's crazy. That's crazy, bro.
Wrote the Instagram caption and again, he said.
Yeah, I was thinking, man, the first race back in 13, over 13 months. CIM.
I remember seeing that result. And I was like, Sworn, I was like, Sworn has not been running, and he just ran 2:16. I was like,
Yeah, I remember because there was a group chat with all the guys that were still and slow, and they were like, I was trolling through because they were constantly texting each other every like 5K, 10K, half marathon, 18 mile mark, 20. They're like, oh my God, he's going to do it. Oh my God, he's going to do it. Oh my God, he just did it. And then I was and everyone calling me like, yo, I didn't even know you were running. I was like, man, I didn't even know I was running. What do you mean? You know, it was crazy. It's one of those things, man. It's just like some things, you know, God is great, man. It was just crazy. I can't believe it, man. But, you know, the second time I just thanked all those kids that, you know, I was coaching. Because I was like, if they can believe in me and they were all PRing. Like I had kids that had run. I had girls that had never like broken 8 minutes in the mile. And in the 1 year of training, they got down to like 5:40. And that was, to me, that was more exciting than me PRing. And they're the one that really got me excited. So coaching, you know, I'm still coaching as a head track, cross country track. You know, this was my first year of head coaching cross country, and our girls team made state. So just the better they do, I feel like the better I do. So, but now it's completely different. And just the mindset of before is like, all right, I want to do this because I can do it. And this time it was like, yo, if they believe in me, you know, well, why can't I believe in myself again? No expectation, and just went out there. And
how hyped were your kids when you told them?
They were pretty excited, you know, coming small town kid from Yuba City, man, farm area, Indian kid, you know, just showing them like, hey, if I can do it, then why can't it be one of you guys one of these days? You know, so they were excited. You know, they go to meets, they know. You know, I'm about Hoka. Luckily, you know, being affiliated with Hoka, I'm able to get them some Hoka gear. And you can tell they'll be like, wow, they're so lucky to have some gear when there's other teams, you know, that don't have any of it. So they're excited. They're hypey.
Nah, that's an amazing story, because through this entire like conversation, we've been able, we really got to see like, oh, like this dude energized through his discipline and was always energized through go, 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 go. And then like almost even from the fact of you even just being like, when you were living with Aaron and he was talking about every single morning, you were hype, like Sworn, you almost have like this youthful energy, you know, like all the time. That's all like always hype, always excited, like living like youthfully and like joyfully and like with no worries and enjoying every single moment, you know. And that moment like that you lost that during the pandemic of like running and stuff, it's amazing to see getting that back from the younger generation, being around kids, being around that youthful energy of seeing kids fall in love with running the way you did, was able to ignite that flame again. Like that's just such a, it's poetry, low-key.
It's a full circle moment. The Garden Street house, it was just a group of kids, bro. We were all just some kids bouncing off the walls, having a great time, being together, but making those sacrifices to whatever it was, whether it was, moving from the LA area, or Brian moved from Santa Barbara. We're working, we're choosing to do this. Like, we always said that like Sworn energized like us, like he was an energizer bunny, but little did we know, like he got a little bit of energy from us just seeing us going after accomplishing our goals. So like when you go full circle 4 years later, or like he's coaching, and like now it's like those kids that he's mentoring, little do they know, I'm sure they're so stoked. Like their coach is a two-time Olympic trials, like qualifier, you ambassador for Hoka, getting them gear, you're doing all these things for them, but they probably don't realize like how much you're really doing, they're really doing for you. So that's really cool.
Yeah, no, it's amazing, man. I think life puts you in situations, you know, whether it be good or bad, to make you learn about yourself, figure out stuff, test you. And, you know, we all get tested in different ways, and it's how you overcome those tests and persevere that really will allow that light to shine on you and bring the best version of yourself. And I always tell people to keep challenging yourself, keep putting one foot in front of the other, because you just never know when your opportunity is going to come. So when it does come, make the most of it, because it doesn't come every day. And most importantly, like you say, I've been a joyful person. I try to be that way, because, you know, life can be tough, life can be dark. everyone, you know, everyone on face value, you can't tell them what they're going through, but everyone has their own challenge. Everyone has their own story. So by being a light, you know, just smiling towards someone or a small gesture can mean so much. And you don't know how that'll impact anyone in whatever way. So I try to, in any scenario, if I can, at least try to be a positive influence or bring the happiness and joy of life that I've got to see through my eyes, you know, out to other people. I think that's how we all should try to look at life. Because like I said, one day it's going to be gone and all you're going to have left. And those around you are your memories. And that's how you'll be judged upon is, you know, how you live your life. You know, money comes and goes, all these other, you know, materials come and goes, but, you know, living in the moment and those small little things is what you'll remember at the end of the day. And I try to live my life with no regrets and giving it everything I have while I'm on this earth for the short period of time I am.
No, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And as we get to the end of this very soon, of this podcast, you still got to run a marathon. That's crazy. Like, we just went through this whole thing. I feel like you experienced your whole journey. Now we got to run a marathon. You feel me? Like, we already.
I know, man.
Like, what are the expectations?
Actually, yeah, training's been good. It was solid. I've had a lot of 100-mile weeks. I got 130 in. 2 weeks ago, I did have a minor, like, grade one hamstring strain. So it took me out of a week. But, man, I was cross-training. Like, same thing, grind. It's like you start questioning why did this have to happen 4 or 6 weeks ago? But then, you know, as you're cross-training and grinding, you just remember, hey, God has a process for you. Everything happens for a reason. You know, luckily it was only a week and I was able to start grinding again. And like yesterday, I ran my longest long run of this block of 24 miles, you know, and it was just only less than 2 weeks ago. I was out for a whole week. So, you know, if I'm able to do that, keep moving forward, keep grinding, man, I'm excited. You know, it's been good. It's been a lot of grind, a lot of 5:30s in the morning, back at it, and nothing's changed. All this for one race, you know, 5:15 a.m., 17 miles, get in the shower, right straight to work, finish work, head to the kids' practice, and get some running after, eat, right back in bed at 8:15. 8:15, man.
Tight window.
That is a tight window.
Yeah, that's tight, man. That's why, you know.
What's it? I guess you said a lot about like the kids fooling you and everything, but yeah, what's it been like? You know, your scenery, just where you run is different now. You're back in Yuba City and stuff like that. You're closer to your parents and your brother and stuff. How has that been?
It's good. I mean, it has its plus and minuses. Obviously, you know, slow is more hilly and stuff. Here it's really flat. We got like some dirt orchards that you run through, a lot of street stuff though, but it's a lot more challenging in that, like, I really now am my only training partner. I really don't have any training partners. All my long runs solo, so it's a different mental challenge. You know, now it's like you really gotta want it the older as I get, because it's not like some days, you know, you finish work and you're just like, all right, I'm gonna go hang out with my boys, we're gonna go talk, chat it up.
Yeah.
But now it's like, all right, you know, it's like, it's just me out here grinding, you know. Me and David Goggins in my ears, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah. But do you ever feel like I've been running more so now, not like you at all, for sure. But sometimes I'm just like, man, what else am I about to go do right now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think back to our days in the Aggie house, like even when I was running, training really hard, you know, some of those days would be hard, but I was like, bro, this is literally the light of my day. Like, this is the
best. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Time of my day is when I go out. And I guess, yes, it was social, running with the people, but just like going to go work out and run, like, I don't know, for some reason, I like that. It's like, it's enjoyable too.
I think it's something as us runners can only relate to, because you tell your average person that, they're like, you think running miles after work is socializing? You must be crazy. Unless you're a runner, you will not understand. Like, yo, that is the best day we look forward to. Just you and the boys chatting it out after a long day, easy running. Man, nothing beats that. And then unless you're a runner, you have no idea what we're talking about. That's a special bond for those that only understand it.
Yeah, I feel that. People be asking me too, like, bro, are you still running? Are you still running at all? I'm like, nah, I don't really run. Like, I just run here and there. I just run to stay sane. Because, like, you know, like, there's just times where you got to get outside and, like, be in the sun. And there's nothing like being on top of that mountain. Like, for those 6, 4 miles, 8 miles, and just like, bro, I'm on top of the mountain and just doing the best thing.
Being a runner, one thing that no one ever forgets, you know, whether you ran after a long while or took a break and, you know, you're having that day, that runner's high, man, nothing beats it. And luckily, it doesn't matter if you're the fittest guy or if you're just having those days where you just want to go out, that feeling, it can always come to you. And it's the best feeling in the world. And unless you've been a runner, you won't understand it until you get, you know, get out there and get that feeling, because there's no better feeling than that.
And I feel like there's a certain aspect to it as well. Like, you can, I think especially now that I'm not competing, like, I've been able to get to a place where, like, I released, there's an amount of stress that I've released off my life to where, like, any time that I finish a run is a victory, you know? Yeah. Like, no matter what type of pace 100%. I run. Yeah. Like, it's a, like, you can imagine if I was just going up to shoot shots. Yeah. Like, if I was shooting shots, I would be mad if I missed my last shot. But the fact that I finished every single run, I'm making a shot no matter what. You know what I mean? Like, all it is I just want to put one foot in front of the other and be happy when I'm done.
And like, I also tell athletes or anyone that starts anything, it doesn't even matter if it's studying, running, anything, just get that first step, get out the door. It's like, there's days we all have it. They're like, oh, I don't want to do this. I got to do a long run by myself. You know, it's already later in the day. I can skip it. You have that. You're just finding these demons in your mind. Cause one side's like, oh, I got to go do this. The other one's like, just take it off. I just tell people, even whether it's my kid, put your shoes on, take one step outside the day, and you will never regret it. It's just those things. It's just like practices in life, you know, just, that's how you get through anything. Just take it one step at a time, and you'll be surprised how much you enjoy something, or be like, wow, I feel good today, or I never thought I could have done that, you know. But just get out the door. And that's anything in life, you know, take that first step. You know, you don't want to study, just open the book, and you never know what you can do, you know, just taking that first step.
No, big facts. But Aaron, I think we got to end this, bro, because I think Swarren going to have to go to bed like in 45 minutes. So I think we're going to have we're gonna have to wrap this up. You have anything else you want to say, Aaron, before we close out this chapter, bro?
Hey, make sure y'all are tracking our boy Swarren Jeet Boyle at the Olympic trials February 3rd.
Am I sure?
February 3rd in Orlando, man. Swarren, we appreciate you. You gave a lot of good energy out to our listeners, bro. So I'm excited for everyone to listen into this. And I'm excited to see you at the trials, bro. It's going to be great. Like,
yes, sir. Reunion. I know. It's been a minute, man. I appreciate you guys. This podcast is amazing, man. I've seen you guys come along. Started from the bottom, now you're here, man. Keep it up. You guys do some great stuff. You guys are doing big things for not only sport of running, track and field in general, but man, people like you guys that, you know, are making the sport is just as exciting. And I can't wait to when people get to hear your guys' journey. And I know what you guys have done to how you started your guys' podcast and all the ups and downs you guys had to come through. So keep fighting, keep doing your thing. I know you guys don't can go up from here. So once again, I appreciate you guys making me a guest, and keep doing big things, you two. Nothing.
Yes, sir.
Beats the Potts brothers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I really think it is crazy that the guy that was super energetic, super motivating, and like the thing that gets him back is the kids, you know, the kids that are fearless, you know, that just love track and field and cross country and are falling in love to the sport in the same way that he did. Like, that's brought him back to the sport. You know what I mean? Like, it's a beautiful full circle moment that we've seen in the final episode, Aaron.
Yeah, and it really shows you how important it is to have like a group of people who are around you and that are supportive of you and have that belief, because like we said throughout these last couple of weeks, like Swarren was the guy that brought a ball of energy into the room. But little did we know, there was so much that, you know, he provided so much for us, but we didn't always realize how much we were doing for him, how motivating and important that was for him. So to hear him open up and be vulnerable about like how he had a panic attack, you know, being alone, he had hard times where he left the sport. He walked away. He didn't have that love for it. And a lot of the love, as far as driven as Sworn is, for him to be that person that was going into his coach's office and being, telling him, hey, I'm gonna be back. You know, when you hear something like that, you're just like, oh, this dude is a dog. He's a lone wolf. He's gonna get it done by himself. But it really does mean a lot to him to have a support system. And just, he sees, even if you don't think you're supporting him, him seeing you putting in work, that don't make him jealous or anything. That makes him wanna go harder. So that just really speaks to the character of him as well.
Yeah, very well said, Aaron. And a community, like, it takes a village, it takes a community, and for the running community, it's super important. And when you see these all these men and women on the start line this Saturday, the hundreds, like, all of them have a village. All of them have a community behind them, rooting for them back home or rooting for them in Orlando. They may be in their newspaper this week or wherever, their local newspaper. They're having such a big accomplishment that they're making just to get to that starting line, qualifying for the Olympic trials. This is a really big deal, you know, to be on that stage on February 3rd. So like that community to get there is so important, because a lot of people don't be able to get the run that fast or be able to have that opportunity. And I don't know, anything could happen on Saturday. You know what I mean? It's a marathon.
And regardless of what happens, there's so many stories on there. There's so many stories that aren't told. This story is especially special because looking at the start list, I do believe he is the only Indian person racing this weekend. So to hear that story, I'm hoping there's someone out there that can relate to it, or maybe even if they're not Indian, maybe they're from a similar town like Yuba up in northern Sacramento or wherever they're at. Maybe they come from a cultural background where athletics isn't a priority for them. Maybe they're someone who wants to continue running after high school, but they're not fast enough to get onto that team. Maybe there's someone who wants to continue running after college but doesn't get a contract. Just know there still is a way for you. There's people that have done it and that have got into, if your level is Olympic trials you're trying to reach, it's possible. It's right there in front of you. And there's people that's even taken it further. But regardless, you'll find joy and happiness chasing that goal. So I would say, whatever you're doing today, just put that goal in mind and go after it. Like Kobe said, it's not the destination. Those early mornings when you wake up and you grinding, that is the dream. That really is the dream. So shout out to Sworn for allowing us to tell his story and share his dream. And we just hope that it gives you some inspiration as we're coming in out of the first month of the year. I think it was a great way to start off the month.
Absolutely. 2024 is going to be a great year. It's going to be a great year. So we're going to get into a little bit more marathon talk in a little bit, about like 15 minutes or 10 minutes or so. But before we get there, let's talk around the track, Aaron, because ever since indoor track has kicked off, bro, it's been wild. It's been wild. It's been wild. And let's start here, bro. Before we go, I got a wild take that I feel like may get you a little bit mad. You feel me? But before we get there, bro, I want to talk about, I was at Dr. Sander, bro. Let me brag on myself a little bit. I know.
Oh, my boy was on TV.
I was on Peacock. I was on okay. Peacock, bro. I was on Peacock. I was on streaming. You feel me? Interviewing the winners for the Dr. Sander Invitational in 800 and the mile. Got to see some people qualify for Melrose Games. Was on TV. That was dope, bro. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a milestone. That was a milestone. I was watching. I know I didn't text you, but I was watching. I saw you doing your thing.
Like I watched it back, and then like, because we met Paul Swangard before.
That's the boy.
For him to say like, to Joshua Potts, like that's pretty cool, bro. That's pretty cool. Like honestly, so I was like, dang,
big.
That's a pretty cool moment. So, but like the thing about it is that I was kind of sick. I still am kind of sick, but I was kind of
Oh,
sick
dang.
during that. And so like I did for being sick, I think I did pretty good, to be honest. Maybe for being sick.
I was thinking, man, watching that, I was like, it's a huge deal for real, man. But I was just thinking back to Kansas, man. Remember you were sick there too. This dude appendix exploded. But I was
Was
just like,
crazy.
dang, look how far you came, bro. From our first time being on, a random webcast during COVID to now you on Peacock with Paul Swangard. That's a huge, bro. Congratulations. We all proud of you back here at home. And I know some listeners saw you too. I had Liam hit me up. He was like, yo, like your brother's killing it right now. And I'm like, hey man, that's what we do, bro. Like, come on, you already know.
Oh yeah, it's pretty wild. It's pretty, yeah. I think the crazy thing about it is that some people are asking me who I work with, like, oh, were you nervous? Are you like nervous and stuff? And like, yeah, at times I like feel like a little bit nervous, but then at other times, bro, I'm all like, I've been in, like, for like the past 6, 7 years, like I've been putting myself on camera and like letting people watch it, like
Yeah.
from vlogs and just stuff. You know what I mean? And
Yeah.
like, it's not exactly the same thing, but for like I've consistently for the past 6, 7 years, either through audio or video, I've been like making it for people's public consumption. So like people's opinions definitely still affect me, but like it's kind of just all like, I don't know, just learn to like have fun with it. And it's kind of, it's like, it, I don't know. We've done a lot of interviews too. So like, it's like,
We done a lot of interviews. We
it's
done a
not that new.
lot.
There's just been a lot of practice, you know, like it's not my first time doing it. It's just a different stage. But that was awesome to be able to do Peacock. Hopefully can do it again. Hopefully can do it again. That's the
Did it
goal.
feel any different though from, because we've had, we talk about Kansas, but I talk about Spokane where I was like getting hecka mad because we had such good plan. Like we had this track meet in Spokane. Shout out to our guy. Jeff from Portlandia, not Portlandia, Tracklandia, and shout out Shannon Roberry. She's amazing to work with too.
Shannon's
We had
dope.
such big plans for this meet in Spokane, and like literally everything technically like just went awry. Or I even think back to I don't want to keep on putting spotlight on Tracklandia, but we've had issues with some of this live stuff. But did it feel different doing it with Peacock?
Well, like it's through Peacock, but it's really through the staff at the Armory and the dude that's over the digital media side of just like putting on the broadcast, Brian. Dude, Brian and his team, like they're great. And like, and so working with them is super good. Like it doesn't always go smooth. There's some definitely some hiccups of like things of when we recorded before when we do like previews for the meets, but like it's just super like hectic. But like
Yeah,
that's just like the
it's the
world of what it
nature.
is, you know? So like, but like kind of like just like I remember Coach O when I was on Mount SAC, he would always be like, control is chaos. Like that's the mentality I just keep, like control the chaos. Like, bro, there's so much that I can do at this moment. And like I'm just trying to help y'all put on the best show too. So like tell me where I need to be, where I need to go, and like I'm gonna be there and then I'm just gonna show up. Like once it's my time, like I'm gonna show up and do my thing. Like until then, like you don't need me, you don't need me. So like, so Brian and them, like he makes the thing make it go super smooth. So shout out to them and just shout out the opportunity. So yeah, like they're pretty good.
I mean, Milrose next. We gonna see you on TV, Milrose.
Show. Nah, that's Lewis Johnson.
Okay,
But
okay, okay, okay.
hey, Lewis, if
You
you need some
listening,
help though,
Lewis?
if you
If
need
you
some help though,
listening,
Lewis.
hey, that's all we saying, Lewis.
You need a breather. I got you, bro. I got you. But
Sure.
I'm gonna talk about this too. We saw Nico Young this past weekend. You feel me? Ran 12:57, NCAA record. Right? First guy under 13 for 15 for the 5K NCAA. Colin Salmon,
And
3:53 in the mile, faster than his mile conversion. And this is what I have to say, Aaron. I think this proves my take right that I made about 3 years ago when I said,
oh my God.
When I put out there and I said that this Newberry Park team would be an all-star cross country runners, that they would be on that level, that they're the greatest cross country team of all time. I think this proves my take right.
How does this prove your take right? This still doesn't say.
No, this is the thing, Aaron.
Cesarek,
this is
Footsum,
Lucas Verbiskis. All this is the thing. When we were having these conversations, I remember we had this with like Rory Linkletter. You guys were like, all right, so we gotta look like, what are they gonna do 5-6 years from now? Look what these two are doing right now. Nico and Colin Solomon are doing. Nico's about to go to the Olympics, it looks
now,
like.
Now, see, I don't like what you did right here, because now you're gonna make me talk bad about Colin Solomon.
How can you talk bad about this man?
He hasn't done nothing. He ran good. He ain't ran great. He don't got no titles. Edward Cesarek is the greatest NCAA track and field distance athlete of all time.
I'm saying he's on his way, though, Aaron. He's on his way. He's already.
But he still hasn't done nothing yet. He hasn't got no titles yet. He's dead. He ran amazing.
But at this moment, I can argue for Colin Solomon and Nico Young for being the greatest cross-country high school athletes of all time. I can argue that. Now that they're in cross country, I can't argue that they're going to be the greatest college athletes. No, I can't. But from what they're doing right now, it shows me that they're going to have long careers. They're going to have careers with longevity. They're going to be in fast races for a
Footsum
very
and Cesarek,
long time.
Colin and Nico, what you got? That's all it is. Footsum and Cesarek versus Colin and Nico. What you doing?
What, at high school?
I mean, high school, I guess. Like,
bro,
Edward Cesarek, Footsum Zinazolasi versus Nico Young, Colin Solomon, and Lex Young.
It's a battle. It's a battle, bro. They're dogs. They're dogs.
Everyone I named is great.
Leon Lex ran great 3000s too at BU. They ran 3000. They ran good 3000s too. But I'm just saying, like, this dude, Colin Solomon, beat like three pros in that race. He beat Chris in that race.
Is Colin Solomon as good as Nico Young high school wise? Like, is Colin Solomon as good as Hobbs Kessler? Because that's what Lucas versus Biggest was like.
Hobbs Kessler's on like a different level.
Okay, but I don't want to make this conversation about that, bro. I don't want to make this conversation about that. I'm not trying to talk about that, to be honest.
No, all I'm saying is that how good they're doing is proving my point right. And I'm just saying they're doing very good.
I'm excited. I'm happy for them. If y'all haven't watched Nico Young's workout on what's it called? All Access Track. You need to go watch that. If you go watch that workout, this is the workout he did before he ran at BU. He ran a 5:17 2K. And he started off the workout with a 400 at 53 and then ran a 5:17 2K. Which is very impressive. I'm not gonna break down the splits for y'all. You can figure that out. Just go watch the workout. And when you watch the workout, watch Mike Smith. Watch how much this man has to hold back. He is bursting out of the seams because Nico is what we call scary fit. He's scary fit. This dude stops the workout early because he's scared of how fast this man is running. And I think the whole world is on watch right now. Jacob Ingerson watched that workout and he's like, okay, young boy coming. This is Colin Hawker. When I was hyped off Colin, you know, back then, this is he on that type of timing right now. So I just think about to what I was saying when you asked me about the hype. Did they live up to their hype? And I said, oh, they create their own thing. They're team guys. I still believe that. But this is like what we expected from Nico Young. This is the hype that we expected, and he's giving it to us. So kudos to him, man. And I'm excited to see what Colin keeps on doing, because yeah, I think you are right. I think he's gonna run faster. I think he might run 3:51 this year. I wouldn't be surprised, you know. But I'm excited to see them in the championship style races. Let's see what they do there. But this is definitely Colin's his party this year. He's gonna show the world what he got too.
No, yeah, it's exciting to see another exciting performance, bro. Tonoda, we reported about him last week. You know, we got to talk about this dude, first African American high schooler to break 4 minutes. Ran 1:46 in the mile last, in the 800 this past week. An incredible performance. Like, dude, it's just telling that, like, shoot, this dude's beast, man. Like, I think what he's gonna run next.
I think we got to keep on reminding people that this dude is the first African American to break 4 in the mile, and how big of a deal that is, and how inspiring that could be to other kids, whether they're a miler or 800, or it's just a kid, a black kid that might be on the fence about doing distance, because that's a big deal. And he's not like burning out or nothing. He's only getting better. He just ran 1:46 and he's a freshman. Like I said, that was an amazing class that just came out with Connor Burns and Simeon Birnbaum and Lex and Leo. But Tonoda Matasa, the first black man to break 4 in high school, was the best. He's the best right now. He just ran 1:46. He's like number 3 in the NCAA. He might win an NCAA championship this year. He might be on the team this year. Y'all might think I'm wilding, but he might be on the team this year. He ran 1:46 indoor. Like,
his first one.
Yeah. Let's just remember that. He was the first black man to break 4 as a high schooler. That's all I'm saying. It's significant.
Yeah, that's really all you have to say. Yeah, that's all you really have to say. Then on the West Coast, and indoor in UW, Nikki Hiltz, they ran 2:34 in the 1,000, beating Jessica Hull. Jessica Hull right on the last like 80 meters to go. Nikki made a super big move and passed her up. And then Angel Pericolo finished about, whoa, Tyranin. Wait, did she change her last name? I don't know. Angel was about like 5 meters behind Jess Hull too. So like an incredible race. But Nikki, they broke the American record with a time of 2:34. Incredible race by Nikki. What did you think, Aaron?
Nikki just keeps on getting better. Every year, there was a moment there where they were kind of stagnant for a little bit, and then they switched over to Mike Smith, and they started just seeing success like everyone else that we see with Mike Smith. So I'm excited to see what Nikki is gonna do. I feel like they are the front runner by far. Like, there's still Heather McLean that Nikki will have to compete against. We'll see where Eleanor Pereira is at.
She's back. But we'll see at Millrose. Nikki will be at Millrose in the Wanamaker Mile.
Yeah, and I feel like Nikki's on another level to where she's dominant in the 15. So I'm excited to see what that means on that world stage. We definitely need somebody up there in the 15, and it would be great to see Nikki continue to rise. One other person I'm gonna mention, I know this was still on the show notes, but if y'all haven't been watching, Rachel Snyder-Smith has slowly been coming back. I think she ran 15:10 this year. I mean, 15:10 last week. I'm not sure exactly where that was at, but it doesn't look like she lost a step. That's all I'm gonna say. Don't be surprised if we see Rachel Snyder Smith on the team again.
No, that would be exciting. Did she run that at BU?
Was it at BU? It may have been at BU. Let me check. I think she posted on her Instagram. I saw it. But Rachel's also probably one of the most popular athletes out there. I've never heard anybody say just anything besides just great things about her. But yeah, looking at the track really quickly, it looks like it is at BU. But Mike Smith, I'm going to keep on saying it. I think he's the best coach in the world. I really do. I'm a big Mike Smith fan.
No, I'm same with you. I think he is. Right now, he seems like the best coach in the world, especially the performances of NAU, seeing the performances of Nikki Hiltz. And then we'll see what happens February 3rd, Galen Rupp, Aaron, what we got for, we got fall
starts. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. So now we're going to go into some fall starts. I know we haven't done this for a while, but you know, a marathon's coming up on Saturday. Every podcast y'all listening to, I know they're going super deep in these stats and these analytics. And we'll say some things that make sense. You know, we'll allow the those podcasts that go for 2 hours, you know, and the Let's Runs and stuff like that. We'll let y'all can go
call them.
We'll go do some false starts. I put together some topics for Joshua. You know, if it don't make sense, if it don't sound right, if it's a false start, if he thinks it's okay, if it's valid, you know, it was on the gun. All right. So the first one I got is at this Olympic trials, we will only have two men actually qualify for the Olympic marathon. And that's because we only have two men right now that have the Olympic standard. You have to have a time under 2:11 right now to qualify for the team. There's some guys that do have that, like 209, 210s, but if you don't have 211 on the day, you have to get under 211. But Joshua, we will only have two men qualifying for the Olympic marathon this year due to the standard craziness. Is that a false start?
I think that's a false start. I think we're thinking too soon. You know, I don't think that's gonna happen. I just don't see that happening. 211 isn't crazy. It's not fast. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, 12, 15. We got 16 guys under 211 PRs on this list. You feel me? I don't think that's that crazy. Someone else should be able to. The top three should be under 2:11. If it's a fast and a competitive race, and everyone already knows they have to run fast here. Like, they have to run fast if they want to make this team. You know what I mean? And to just make the team and to simply get that standard. So I think it's a false start. They're going to go for this thing.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And it would be pretty atrocious if we only were able to send two people. Like, you know, I don't want to sound arrogant, but we're the United States, man. We got to have some pride. You know what I mean? We better got two people that can hit the standards to make the team. So I 100% agree with you. Okay. Second question I got for you. We will have a completely new Olympic team on both men's and women's side in comparison to 2020. So last year, no, in 2020 on the men's side, the qualifiers were Galen Rupp, Abdi Abraham, Jacob Riley. And then on the women's side, so Galen Rupp and Abdi Abraham are both racing. And then on the women's side, we had Alafine Tulamuk, we had Molly Seidel, and then we had Sally Kipyego. So the question is, will we have a completely new Olympic team on both men's and women's side? Is that a false start?
Wait, hold on. So you're saying no, like no new person, like
no repeats at all on either side.
Oh, man, I don't think that's. It hurts to say because I don't think that's a false start. I don't think that's a false start. Only reason, like, the reason I struggle with that is mainly because of, like, Molly Seidel and Alafine. Like, I feel like they have the ability. I feel like they're really good racers. Like, I think they're really good when the when it's time to be clutch and when it's on the line, like they'll show up. You know what I mean? Like if I had to put money on somebody, like to just show up and just like to make it happen, it's those two, you know? Galen Rupp. Now Galen Rupp's also the GOAT, but like we also talked about what this man ran about 3 weeks ago. So you know what I mean? So I don't know. I feel like Galen Rupp is getting older and like if he like didn't make it, like I don't think it's a false start to say that Galen Rupp doesn't make the team. Cause like I feel like that's definitely possible this year. That can happen. Like just to be realistic. That's not the best quote to have, but like it could happen. I don't know what Galen Rupp's gonna really look like. But Alaphine and Molly Seidel, like if they're just on that day, like I don't think there's a lot of people beating them. Like their competitive psyche and how they race is different compared to others. Don't you like, you know what I mean?
You know what? You know, Alaphine, that's that, you know, that's the homie. That's like sis. That's big sis right there. But I'm gonna have to disagree with you, man. We're gonna have completely new teams on both sides. Galen, you're done.
No.
I'm sorry. You're done. And then Abdi Abraham, I would love to see it, but probably not going to happen. And my guy, Jacob Riley, that was a beautiful story, but I don't see it happening again. On the women's side, I get what you're saying, but there's just so many good women that are racing this year. Like, this could be a top three. Emily Sisson, Kiara D'Amato, Sarah Hall. If they're on a good day, they could be Alaphine or Molly Seidel. Like Betsy Saina, they could beat her. Sarah Vaughn, Kellen Taylor. What if Kellen Taylor slips in there? That's low-key one of my dark horses. I'm really rooting for her. Nell Rojas. There's just a lot of good women. There's about 225 or under. It's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 women, 225 or under, which is incredible when the Olympic A standard, I believe it was, did I say 226? So it's going to be a battle. And I'm excited. I hope Alaphine makes it, to be honest. You know me, you know I'm rooting for Alaphine. But I wouldn't be surprised if there was a completely new team on both the men's and the women's side.
Yeah, you got a fair point. But no, I still think, I don't know, Alaphine and Molly Seidel, I feel like they differ.
One of them is going to make it.
But I don't know. I don't think Galen is, honestly, I don't think Galen's going to make it. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to make it, though. It's going to be tough.
All right. We going hard on Galen right now, but my next false start, is this a false start? This is the final Olympic trials we'll see Galen Rupp compete in.
I think so. I think this is his last one. I would be surprised if he was back in 2028. Oh, this man's 37 years old at the moment. Like, I don't know if he's gonna come back in another 4 years at 41 years old. Is he gonna come back and run again? You know, maybe if he makes this one, he will come back and do another one in 2028, but It's been a long run. It's been, like, no pun intended, it's been a long run for the man. So, like, I think as long as he can make it and as long as he could probably make the Olympic trials and he's having fun doing it, why not? But if he feels like, dude, I've done everything that I possibly really could have done in this sport, like, bro, sit down, chill. Like, I think Galen's a great commentator. He should commentate. I liked him when he goes NXN and stuff. He's really good.
Silver in the 10K. And did he get silver in the marathon or was that bronze?
Silver.
But one of the greatest American distance runners of all time. Maybe we'll see him compete on the track if he doesn't make the team. But I do think this will be the last Olympic trials cycle that we will see him as well. And then my last question, if it's a false start, one of the qualifiers making their marathon debut will make this team. All right, hear me out. We got Paul Chelimo. You know what he's done? Constant multi medalist at the Olympics, 10K, 5K extraordinaire. We also on the women's side have Natasha Rogers, consistently making world teams in the 10K, making her debut in the marathon. We got Jenny Simpson. Y'all know what it is, one of the greatest 1500 meter athletes of all time. She qualified with a 110 half, but who knows, on game day, she's feeling good. I don't know what can happen. And then Issa Rodriguez just came out from Oklahoma State, was a standout there, won some NCAA titles, I believe. He qualified with like a 62 half. Is it a false start to say that one of these?
Yes, false start. False start, bro.
Is
false
that start. Wild? Paul Chelimo, like, can Paul Chelimo make the team?
It would be cool. It would be cool. Like, if not, just Natasha Rogers just came out of nowhere and made the team and ran like 225. Like, I
low-key could see that, though.
Yeah, no, that would be insane. It would absolutely be insane. But, like, let's be real, though. Let's be real. You feel me? I can't just disrespect, you feel me, all these people that have been out here grinding for years. It's like,
don't disrespect Chelimo, though. Calm down.
They've been grinding for years trying to make this team. And like, they've been focusing on the marathon, and then they just come up and first time out and just beat them. Like, I don't think we got any Stephon Sons that just deep in their bag like that. But like, you, I think if there's anyone that could do that, it could be Natasha Rogers. Like, she's on that. Not saying that she's on that exact same training plan as a son or something like that, but she's in that same category of just crazy, that 10,000 people that are running that 10,000 that have been consistent and like are been able to come, that have we seen that just can go up and run a great marathon time, like the Tezpec Gadey, Helen O'Beary, Stephon Hassan, and so many others. So no, not going to happen though.
What do you think about Issa Rodriguez, bro? This dude's favorite book is the Bible, and his favorite TV show is One Piece.
Why'd you list those stats?
Because, hey, man, anybody that is devoted to their Bible and they think like Luffy, and then his favorite song is "The World Is Your World Is Yours to Take, Little Baby." This man might go off.
What?
It's random, but I don't know.
I think Isai Rodriguez is nice, though. I wouldn't be surprised if he's leading the race in the beginning. He always gets out. He was leading the 10,000 at USA's. So I wouldn't be surprised. He's a competitive dude. So, but nah, he ain't making the team. That'd be crazy.
That would be crazy, but. Yeah, that's all I got for you for false starts. I mean, guess at this point, we could put in our picks that helps you think a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, let's do our picks. I'll go first from the men's side, who I think is going to make it. Honestly, bro, I don't really know. But I think for sure, I think
nobody
I just
knows.
I want to see at this point, like, I want to see this happen. I want to see Connor Mance and Clayton Young make it. I want to see them go 1-2. I want to see Connor Mance win, Mance to make him dance. That would be fire. You feel me? The young dude winning it and like just being. I think he can. This could be the start of something new. You feel me? And just like the start of his journey, being that top marathoner in America. For the next 10 years, this could be the start of that. And Connor could claim that this Saturday and bring his teammate along right with him. Clayton Young can really solidify what Ed Eystone is really doing up there in BYU with these, creating these great marathoners year in and year out. And then I'm going to put out my third place, really just some fan love, Footsome to the Saucy. Well, that's not fan love. This man's also nice. Like, Footsome. He's finished well in good marathon majors. Why can't he finish well in the big stage at the U.S. Olympic Marathon Trials? He's been on a U.S. team now before. He wants to get back there. Put some Dylan Saucy.
Okay. So for me, I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I'm going to also say, I think that Connor Mance is the favorite going into it. And I think it is the start of, it's the passing of a torch in a way. We're going to see a Galen Rupp, you know, our marathon great. We're going to see him run his last Olympic marathon trials. And we're going to see Connor Mance, you know, take over that torch. And I think he's going to take the baton. His teammate, though, Clayton Young, I don't think he's going to make it this time around. The marathon, it's a lot about experience, you know. And there has to be a guy in that three that has ran previous trials and gone through tribulations and not made teams. You can't tell me it's going to be somebody whose first Olympic trials is not going to, you know, there's going to be someone with, it's not going to be just, you know, Clayton, Connor, their first one. There's going to be somebody that is like, there's going to be somebody that's like, I am not.
Who is it, bro?
And that person that I think that person is, I think that's Scott Faubel. That guy has gone through a lot. Like, he's ran some good times at Boston. He switched from Hoka to Nike. But there's a lot of times I feel like he just comes up short of his goal. But I don't think he's going to let this chance pass him by. I think he's in a good mind state based off interviews and things like that. And I think his experience is really going to come into play. He's 32 years old, and he's ran a ton of marathons. So I feel like it's time for him to make the team. And finally, like, he's been running great for years. He always is a top finisher at Boston. He ran to like 209 there and stuff like that. And people always get hyped on him. And then he doesn't perform the best when it comes to like the trials sometimes and things like that. But I think this year he's going to make the team. Then my last person I'm going to pick is, this guy was Scott Faubel's former teammate. They used to train together. Footsum Zenasalasi. I'm putting Footsum on there. That's all. Connor, Scott, and Footsum. Those are my picks.
All right. I think it's good. Woman's side.
This is harder. This one's harder.
No, yeah, this is super hard. Now I feel like I kind of have to put someone from the past because I said that wasn't a false. That couldn't be a false start. You feel me? So,
I don't know, man. Shoot.
I think for sure, honestly, I know that they're too fastest on here too, but I think Emily Sisson, I think she's going to make this team. I'm pretty sure when we did this in 2021, I had her on the team. I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. And like as the pick to make it, I think she's going to make it this team though. I think she's once that redemption, I feel like Kiera D'Amato has to make this team too, bro. I feel like she has to. You know, she's been so fast. She's been consistent in the marathon and running fast in the half. I think she has to make this team as well. Now that third spot, my thing's changed. Wait, hold on. Can you hear me? Wait, I can't hear you. On my third spot, though. I think I want to pick Sarah Hall, but I just don't know. So I'm gonna say Molly Seidel. I feel like that's a very popular top three, but that's the top three I'm gonna pick.
Okay. Dang, honestly, the women is so up in the air. It's hard to say. But shoot, this one I really don't know, but I'm going to just throw some names out there. I'm going to go on the opposite of you. I'm going to say Kiera D'Amato is going to make it. Because, oh wait, did you say she was going to make it? You did say she was going to make it. Yeah. I think she's going to make it. She's had just so much upswing over the past couple of years. And also, she's 39 years old. And I think experience is super big. I mean, she did quit for 10 years and then came back in 2017, and she's just been going crazy the past couple of years. She's been a name. So I think she will show up when it matters this weekend, and she will make the team. Also, I see on here her favorite TV show is Survivor, and she chooses podcast over music. So I like that. So I don't know. I like that on these athlete bios. It tells you something about the people too. That helps me with my pick. So yeah, I'm gonna put Kiara D'Amato on there. Dang. And then shoot. You know what, man? I'm gonna put Sarah Hall on the team, man.
Let's go.
I'm gonna put Sarah Hall on the team, bro. You know, I feel like she hasn't had the best history at Olympic trials, but she's also 40 years old, and shoot, time is of the essence, man. Time is of the essence. She don't want to be back here at 44. So she's going to do everything she can to tough it out and make this team. Also, had the American record in 2022, which was then again broken by Emily Sisson. So I'm going to say Sarah is going to make that onto the team. I think she's going to gut it out and figure it out. So that's Sarah. That's Kiara. And, you know, I got to put a Hoka person on there. I'm sorry. I'm going to be there. That's what I'm rooting for. And the Hoka person I'm going to put Kellen on there. I think Kellen Taylor is going to make this team. Kellen is somebody who's always like sixth place, fifth place, like always in that. Another person, I guess I'm picking, I'm rooting for the older people. I'm going with experience, I guess. I'm not even sure how old Kellen is, but definitely one of the older in comparison to the field. But I think that would be cool though to have Kiara, Sarah, and Kellen, to have that group would actually be really cool, because they've just been at it for such a long time. And I think it would be all of their first teams. We'll see though. That's my pick. I would love to see Alafine on there too, but I'm gonna stand by it. I'm gonna stand by what I said.
Yeah, there's a lot of people we would love to see to make the team, but it only could be three. But I think that's gonna be the most interesting part about the marathon trials. Like, I feel like it's getting more and more exciting each day. So super hyped for this Friday. And yeah, man, I'm super hyped for this Saturday and watch these races. It's gonna be exciting. A lot of different storylines. So I have to see who makes it, bro. First people crowned on an Olympic team for track and field, or is this Saturday? That's exciting.
That's crazy. We're back. You know, full circle now, going back to the Swarren conversation. What Swarren's conversation made me think back to was just like COVID and like how hard of a time that was. The Olympics got canceled. Everything got moved back. That was such a wild time. Like, yeah, like he was saying, we were all moving out of the house. My boy had panic attack. There was a lot of unknowns. But we're back to somewhat normalcy, and the Olympics are here again. It's crazy. Like, we're at the Olympic trials for the marathon this weekend. Full circle moment, man.
Yeah, it's going to be dope. It's going to be dope. Have fun out there. Aaron, be safe. You feel me? Say what's up to everybody for me. And shoot, you won't be at Melrose. That kind of sucks, so.
How was your boy Chris? How was your boy Chris last week? I'm about to run into him. You might catch me on City Smack Live. If I get there in time, I'm gonna try and hop in there and get my predictions.
Nah, Chris was chill. Chris was chill. I saw Chris and Anderson won't be down there, but I saw Chris and Anderson. But yeah, I think that man ready for this weekend. City is about to be going crazy this weekend, tell you that.
Yeah, no, we got a lot planned, but thank you all for just tuning in this week. Thank you all for tuning in to Swarren and being open to hearing that story. Let us know if you can, you know, to the true ones, the real ones, hit me up on like Instagram or in the what's it called, leave a review and let us know how you liked this format of having, you know, one interview for 4 weeks. It was something new we tried to give more focus to it, but honestly with like time it also helped as well. I'm definitely not saying this is something that we'll do permanently, but I would be interested to just get feedback from everyone on how did you all like that type of interview process.
Yeah, we'd love to hear for that from y'all, but we'll see y'all next week on another Two Black Tuesday. And can you believe that, bro? First 4 weeks of the year of 2024, we got a podcast in.
Bro, we starting sharp. Now we got to finish fit. We got to keep it going. That's got to keep it going, man. Maybe we'll hit 52 this year, man. Who knows? Hey,
you don't want me to promise that. We'll make it happen.
Yo, that's what the people want, man. I mean, we in a good rhythm right now, though. So I'm excited. I have some other ideas lined up for the year for everybody. And more guests. We're not going to have just one guest for the whole month every time. But no. Yeah, I got some more guests lined up.
Yeah, man. We'll see y'all next week. Let's get it.